Good morning. It's nice to see you all this morning. And I see an actual smile on many faces this morning. Welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged today to worship God on this Ascension Day Sunday as we mark the ascension of our Lord Jesus into heaven this past Thursday. As you probably know by now, at noon this past Friday, May 14th, Mayor Lucas's fourth emergency order requiring the wearing of masks indoors was rescinded, although the CDC still does recommend that persons who are not fully vaccinated continue to wear masks indoors. And it's our joy this morning to once again welcome the children to the front of the sanctuary for the children's message, and afterwards to welcome them to Children's Church on the first floor of the education wing following the children's sermon. Next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, May 23rd, we will return to worship services at 8:30 and 11 o'clock with Sunday school at 9:45 for adults. Our children that Sunday and youth will assemble in the fellowship hall for a meet and greet with their new classes and teachers. And nursery care for infants through 3 years of age will also resume next week. Next Sunday, we also hope to resume the Lord's Supper and also the passing of offering trays if we can muster up enough elders and deacons for that task. We'll also resume the use of hymn books in worship and refreshments before Sunday school. It's nice to feel normal again, isn't it? Amen. All right, Andrew, would you lead our call to worship, please?
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord with all our hearts, and we will thank the Lord in the assembly of his people. All he does is full of honor and majesty. His righteousness is eternal. Let us sing our opening hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 622. We'll sing all stanzas.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. God, bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing waters flow. Let the far and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee.
May we bow in a word of prayer. Merciful and loving God, we are grateful for the privilege to gather this morning without the stringent social distancing requirements that we've endured for the past 14 months. We do pray that as we begin to resume many of our faith traditions in the next few weeks, we may do so thoughtfully and safely. Guide us, O God, as we begin our worship and as we seek the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you before taking your seats. All right, well, folks, for the first time in 61 weeks, that's 427 days, 61 weeks. Will the children please come forward for the children's sermon as we sing the song on our bulletins, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Now, how's this? Yay! Love seeing these faces in the morning. Missed you guys so much. Well, I have something to show you here. See this? See what that is? That's a picture that was taken from an airplane. And that was taken of my grandparents' farm. Oh! And my grandparents had lots of animals. Cows and pigs and chickens and ducks and geese and horses and sheep. Yes. There he is. And see this river right here? Well, that's where most of the animals used to go to drink. But we had to make really sure that we were really careful to put a fence by the sheep so that they wouldn't go in the river and drown. Because they have short little legs and real heavy fur. And that doesn't work well with a muddy river. Well, today, we didn't have shepherds, we just had pens. But in Jesus' time, they had shepherds, didn't they? And the sheep always listened to their shepherd. Not any other sheep's shepherd, but the one shepherd that was theirs. They recognized his voice, and they trusted him. They trusted him to take them to good water and good pasture and to look out for them. Well, do you know what it says in the Bible about Jesus? Jesus is our good shepherd. So, if the sheep trust their shepherd and follow him, do you think we should trust our shepherd and follow him? Jesus, our shepherd? We should listen to what Jesus has to say, shouldn't we? Yeah. And we should follow where he leads us because we know Jesus will always take us to good places. He would never lead us someplace that would harm us, would he? Now, can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to have our children back with us in church and Sunday school. We have missed them dearly. We thank you for your protection during all of these months. Help us to always listen for your voice and to follow our shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, are we ready to go down for children's church? Let's go.
Thank you, Kathy. as we're privileged to go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to remember as we journey through the new week. First of all, Ardeth Haynes is now at North Kansas City Hospital going through some various tests and hoping to ascertain the details of what's taking place for her. So please keep Dave and Ardeth in your prayers. Also, we want to remember Barbara Mayberry in our prayers. She is recovering from a procedure that took place on Friday to relieve some pressure and pain in her lower back. So far, she's making good progress and at home. Grace Kimberling is still in hospice care at home. And among family members, we remember Kathy Gorman's granddaughter, Savannah Gorman. We also want to remember Barbara Mayberry's daughter, Shannon Hoyt. She is going to be having knee replacement surgery on Thursday of this week. We also are remembering her sister, Tootie, whom we've seen here in church from time to time. She is having carotid artery surgery on Wednesday the 22nd, and Taylor Myers is a person in the family, family friends that we've been remembering for some time. And also we want to lift up Rosa Kurtwright's son, Dan, as he's dealing with thyroid cancer. And for about the last 6 weeks, we're mindful that Edna Williams' cousin, Anna Hext, has been in intensive care at the Methodist Hospital down in Houston. They are hoping that she can begin starting some physical therapy this week, although she is still on a ventilator. So a number of health concerns going on for Anna. We also continue to remember Rihanna Ralston and Carolyn Comfort. And Patricia Plum is asking us to remember her friend Charlotte and the fact that Charlotte's family has a niece living in Jerusalem among the families affected by the violence between Israel and the Hamas Palestinians in Gaza. And Perla Moore's friend Patty Nelson is in our prayers this week. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is indeed a privilege for us to once again assemble in your house to offer you worship and praise. On the seventh Sunday of Eastertide, as we have marked Christ's ascension this past Thursday, we reflect upon the 40 days that our Savior lived among his followers in his resurrected form. Surely Christ's followers found comfort in his presence and his continued guidance. Surely his resurrected form was living proof of his victory over sin and death. And as Christ's resurrected presence assured his followers then, O God, our belief in the resurrection also gives us conviction and hope today. For as Simon Peter declares in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And as we, like the apostles, may find ourselves looking toward the heavens in awe of Christ's ascension, may we also wonder if the angels dressed in white would also ask of us, "Why are you standing there looking up at the sky?" For surely the concerns of our day call us to be grounded in the practical matters that need our attention, even as we hope for the eternal. We mourn, O God, because of the escalating conflict evolving between Israel and the Hamas Palestinians. And as violence continues even among our own citizens, we wonder if there may ever come a day when people can experience each other as being your children whom you love equally, rather than objects of scorn and dissension. Guide us, O God, even as we look toward the hope of Pentecost next Sunday. And this is what we pray today on this Ascension Sunday as we recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkness night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Next week, we are hoping we can resume what had been our normal schedule of receiving the Lord's Supper and also the passing of offering plates, but that will be dependent upon acquiring enough deacons and elders to serve, obviously, for each of the services. So let's hope that is indeed the case. And again, remember, next week we'll be going back to the two worship services of 8:30 and 11. And so hopefully this is our last time to do this community reflection before God that you see in your bulletin. Today it is taken from various texts from the Gospel of John, Isaiah, and Romans. As the text says, whoever is of God hears the words of God. This is the way. walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our hymn of contemplation as we remain seated is number 628. Precious Lord, take my hand. We'll sing all stanzas, please.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Jesus shares a rather comforting image of himself as the Good Shepherd in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. And we like to picture ourselves as being among the sheep that Jesus cares for. But as Jesus says that his sheep listen to his voice and follow him, we must wonder, in our era, can we truly hear his voice through the din of our bustling, distracted existence? This we consider as we focus on the text for this morning, John's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 27 through 30. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never die. No one can snatch them away from me. What my Father has given me is greater than everything, and no one can snatch them away from the Father's care. The Father and I are one. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer, please. Gracious and holy God, we're indeed privileged to be in your house once again and on this Ascension Sunday, in which we celebrate the truth that Christ arose into the heavens, giving the promise that he would one day come back, and indeed making a prophecy of the second coming. We are indeed grateful for the assurances we have of eternal life because of what Jesus has done for us. It's in his name that we give thanks as we strive to hear your word and follow. Amen. As soon as the child could sit in his mother's lap and look at pictures in a book, the mother diligently read books to her young son. He soaked up the pictures and quickly began to pick up words, but most of all, he really enjoyed listening and hearing about curious adventures in book after book. When the young man reached kindergarten, He could be seen before classes started, seated at a computer in the school's library. His small legs dangled over the seat, and he wiggled about while scrolling through and answering questions about books that he'd been listening to as his mother kept reading book after book. By the end of the school year, he was awarded the 300-point certificate in the school's accelerated reader program with a testing average of 98%. The next child at the Episcopal Elementary School to acquire the 300-point certificate that year was in the sixth grade. As the years went by, and after listening intently to so many books, simply hearing was all he needed to grasp even the finest details on any subject. Listening, acquiring and retaining knowledge was a skill that served him well as he excelled through college and graduate school, never needing to write down a single note while retaining multitudes of information. One wonders if the invaluable skill of becoming a good listener would have ever been achieved if it had not first started with that near daily discipline of a mother reading so many books to a young son. Since the very beginning, God's people were called the people of the Word, or in some cases, the people of the Book, meaning, of course, the Torah. It started with stories that were spoken and re-spoken night after night around campfires. And then God wrote the stone tablets through Moses and presented the law to the Hebrew people. Again, the people were still known as the people of the Word. Even the Passover event with Jesus, which Jesus transformed into the Lord's Supper, was an event whose story was to be told and retold to generation after generation. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 and 27, the text says, "When your children ask you, 'What does this ritual mean?' you will answer, 'It is the sacrifice of Passover to honor the Lord.'" And of course, the reference here is the notion that you are to tell the story over and over and over again so that your children might hear, might listen, and might understand. In Jesus' day, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, were read, reread, and studied so much that by the time a Jewish child reached the age of 12, most children could recite from memory the entire contents. Some of them, of all five books of the Torah. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Even today, the entire Torah is read in sections aloud over the course of an entire year. That's listening to a lot of scripture over the course of a year's worth of Sabbaths, isn't it? Surely telling and retelling, listening and listening again, helped the stories of God to become an integral part of the living fabric of Jesus' life and ministry. In fact, a quick look at the Gospels reveals that Jesus makes reference to Old Testament texts 59 times in the Gospels at a time period when you couldn't Google it. You had to have it in your head to be able to say it, and to be able to do so extemporaneously in front of folks. Oh my, to have that ability. I've never had that ability to keep it in my head. Have you? For me, it always falls out. You know, whatever I've learned, it falls out. It's a frustrating thing for being a preacher. I wish I had that ability to hear and remember forever. Surely Jesus, though, like many of his Jewish contemporaries, had learned a vast storehouse of texts. Even though his humble upbringing as the son of a common tradesman in a rather backward small town in the northern part of Galilee would not have seemed like much of a qualification. But in a day long before printed Bibles with concordances, how did Jesus acquire such a depth of understanding of God's Word? Surely it was from hearing time and again the text, the stories, committing them to memory, when only the most precious of information was written on expensive papyrus or on clay tablets. It's little wonder then that Jesus says of himself in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verse 38, "Whoever believes in me, streams of life-giving water will pour out from his heart." That life-giving water, though, is simply what one hears, learns, retains, and puts into practice by what is first spoken. Thus, we can see how important it is to hear and then to follow. This is what we see in Jesus. But the theme of hearing and following even takes us a bit further into the Gospel of John as we focus on that 10th chapter. In verse 22, the text is telling us that it was winter and Jesus and his disciples were attending the festival of dedication of the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus is walking in Solomon's porch in the women's court of the temple when people begin to ask him, "Tell us the plain truth. Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus uses the imagery of a shepherd and his sheep as he declares in verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Every Jewish person in Jesus' day is familiar with the imagery of shepherds and sheep. They are an integral part of their Jewish heritage, and they are visible to everyone on the hilltops and byways throughout the countryside. Every Jewish person knows that even when several herds of sheep are gathered together in a single rock-walled pen at night for protection, as the sun rises, any given shepherd need only call his sheep at the gate, and every one of them comes to his call and easily gathers together to follow the shepherd out to green pastures. How is that possible? Even before the days of sheepdogs, it was possible because it was what became the custom day in, day out, day in, day out. Surely the youngest of the sheep learned from the older ones, and they learn to know and to respond to only the voice of their own shepherd, whom they could trust. Jesus goes on to say then, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never die. No one can snatch them away from me. What my Father has given me is greater than everything, and no one can snatch them away from the Father's care. The Father and I are one." All of this leads us to think that we like to believe we are part of God's spiritual flock, led by our shepherd Jesus, that we are cared for by God's great grace and the love of God we experience in so many of the stories of Jesus. But we must wonder, in our era, can we truly hear the voice of our Lord Jesus, our great shepherd, through the din of our bustling, distracted existence? Our ears, our minds, our consciousness are filled with the drone of the tit-for-tat and the hustle-bustle of all our human drama. The sportscaster screams the play-by-play of our favorite sports team. The newscaster fills our ears with the drama of the day's dissension and violence. The commercials make their proclamation in ever-increasing volume. The truck with the glass-packed muffler roars by, and every child is screaming about the injustice of their sibling's misbehavior. One wonders, when do we ever pause to speak aloud the Word of God? Do you ever know that sometimes just reading something out loud, even if it's just to yourself, somehow just makes it more alive, makes it more meaningful? Maybe it's worth us taking the time to turn off all the stuff. Or even if we've got that device in our hand, you know, it will lift up the scripture text as easy as anything else. Did you know that? You can look up the Bible on your phone. What would it be like to simply pause in a quiet place? Read the Word of God. Read a favorite passage. Read a favorite story about Jesus. Read it aloud to yourself. Read it as a family. Read it as a couple. Read it to your grandchildren. What would it be like if we could hear and listen to God's teachings? We do this so seldom that very few of us can get beyond the 23rd Psalm and maybe John 3:16. If we were required to take the accelerated reader test on even the shortest gospel, the Gospel of Mark, I fear we'd all fail the questions on the computer screen. As Pentecost approaches, though, and as we celebrate the blessing of the Holy Spirit's arrival next Sunday, may we first of all pause to hear what God is saying to us through His Word. Let us be more deliberate about the imagery of taking ourselves up in God's lap and just listening, hearing His Word. Because if we can hear His Word, then we can follow Him. Appropriately, can we not? For we recall, Jesus says to us, "My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." It is in hearing the voice of Jesus and following Him that we are led to eternal life. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward, become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 599 in the flyer. All the way my Savior leads me, we'll sing all three stanzas as we stand, please.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Through my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. gushing from the rock before me. Lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish you the best as we journey forward through this new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to feel your presence and to understand your ways. And for this we give thanks as we strive to hear your word and to follow your guidance. It's in the name of Christ we seek your direction as we depart. Amen.
Peace be upon you and guard you forever. Go in the knowledge that God is with you. Peace be upon you and guard you forever. Go in the knowledge that God is with you.